Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Go there with me if you would. It says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them." Now, you got to understand the setting of this. Paul and Silas have been thrown into the inner prison. Their feet have been put in stocks. They are on trial, or they've been arrested for casting out a devil out of a woman, which was making money for some people, and they got mad and had them thrown into jail. They beat them, take them to jail. The jailer takes them to the inner prison, puts them in stocks, and here they are. But at midnight, they begin to pray and sing praises. And the prisoners heard them. In other words, they're not praying silent. They weren't acting like you guys have been this morning. Say what? They weren't quiet. They were loud enough for the prisoners in the prison to hear them. Now, they didn't look like they had a reason to pray and praise. They've been beaten. They're in prison, most likely facing death the next morning. But they didn't let that hinder their praise and their worship. Come on, church. See, we've got to realize there's never a bad time to praise God. Come on, it don't matter how we feel, don't matter what the weather is, don't matter what's going on. It's always a good time to praise the Lord. Amen. So here they are praising God in the midst of a bad situation, and they're praising loud so that the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. Now, I want you to just kind of take a minute to just kind of absorb what's going on. The Lord moved in a mighty way, opened up the prison doors. Nobody ran. The jailer's going to kill himself, but Paul says, "No, we've not gone anywhere. We're still here." And then he comes in and he says this, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" And they tell him, "Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved." Now notice this. "And all your house." It's important for you to make sure that you're living for God. Because what you do is you open up yourself to the promise of all your house. If you're living for God, you've made Jesus Lord of your life, then you're opening yourself up to that promise that your house can be saved too. See, some of you have children that are not in. You know, they're not saved. Maybe some of them you think are just pure heathens. But if you start claiming that promise and get that activated in your life, you start speaking that out over your children, saying, "I don't know what I'm going to do with them. They're heathens." And you know, no, they're part of my house. So according to the word of God, I'm saved and I'm calling them in right now in Jesus' name. You say, "Well, that's how can you do that?" Because I'm calling things that be not as though they were. And that's what the Bible says God does. Amen. Now, I want you to notice something. Not only did they tell him to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they also then gave him the word of the Lord. Anybody see that? Not only did they say you need to believe on Jesus, but then they said, "Let us tell you about Jesus. Let us tell you about his death, burial, and resurrection." Now, it doesn't say all that, but that's what the word of the Lord is. The good news of the gospel is that the Lord Jesus Christ died on a cross for you and I and became sin for us.
He took our sin upon Himself on the cross. He was placed in the tomb. And on the third day, He was given the good news of the gospel is that Jesus paid the price for sin. He couldn't pay the price for our sin. But Jesus couldn't because He was sinless. And He took it upon Him. And because He did that, now He becomes our sacrifice for sin because He paid the price. And all of His house, everybody that was there, that heard the word of the Lord, got saved, and they got the good news of the gospel. We can't decide about this. It's a miracle. But that is a great miracle here last Sunday morning. Praise God. We have salvation. And that's the most important thing in the world is to be saved. Now, Christianity, those that believe on the Lord Jesus and then expect the word of the Lord into it. So it's based upon Jesus' word, not based upon Jesus. So many folks wonder about how they feel. No, it's not what the word says. Christianity is based upon the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord.
That's what our faith is based upon. See, a lot of folks think that they can just do what they want to and still get to go to heaven. Live how they want to and still get to go to heaven. Not keep the word of the Lord and still get to go to heaven. But folks, that's just not simply not backed up by the word. And if it's not backed up by the Word, then it's not backed up by God. And so we have to understand our living for the Lord Jesus Christ is living according to the Word of God. Will we must make mistakes? Absolutely, you'll make mistakes because you're not perfect. You strive to be perfect. You strive to be mature. But there's going to be times when you mess up. But thank God, the Bible says if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is who? The Lord Jesus, right? And He's the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but the sins of the whole world. So when we mess up, what do? We repent. We go to God and say, God, forgive me, I messed up. But you see, a lot of folks live their lives and they think that they don't have to do that anymore. Well, I'm just living my life and I can live however I want to. No. We live a repentive lifestyle. Can I say, I'm going to say a dirty word here. We live a holy lifestyle. The holy word is what's dirty to a lot of folks. Oh, you just think you're better than everybody else. No. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about the Bible saying, be holy even as I'm holy. Now, we're already missing the mark by a whole lot because we're not as holy as He is, but we ought to be at least striving to be holy. At least striving to live our righteousness the way God would have to live it. Of course, we were made the righteousness of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I just stand with God. God would say that way. Right, but I'm not going to do anything that we should be saying with, so that we can keep walking this thing out. Now, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, look at verse 26 here. Acts pulled the south to the way of the boy down from Jerusalem and Gaza. She prayed a bread of the Lord under him, queen of the Ethiopian, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem with Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go read prophet Isaiah, and said, understand as thou reads. He said, how did we come up with him? The piece of the scripture which he read when before years saw opening on his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip himself, or else another man. And Philip preached to him what? Jesus. He preached to him. And the eunuch said, see here, Lord, what doth hinder me believe with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe the same deal. And he went down off the water, but Philip can't believe this is what's going on here. Here we have a eunuch that absolutely talks about the fact that, you know, if it's of the Spirit, he doesn't know. And so he freed his hand, understand it. The Lord God sent Philip down to the eunuch and tell him that when he hears him, says, Isaiah, not to talk about Isaiah, but to him about Jesus. Because he's already really wanting about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, and if he's preaching Jesus, he's preaching the death, the burial, and the resurrection. How Jesus gave his life for sin. Now notice this. The eunuch, after hearing Philip preach, when they come to the water, he says, wait a minute. And Philip said to him, he says, you can if you believe with all your heart, Jesus Christ. I believe that he's the Son of God. And Philip came down and baptized. He heard the word of Jesus. He heard it. He believed it. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing here to keep you from being saved if you believe in Jesus. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for us, was raised in the tomb, rose on the third day. If you believe that, they didn't believe. So how much easier should it be for you and I? They from the word about Jesus, and then believed and was baptized. You see, that's the same thing that I said about you and I in Romans chapter 10. We'll read over here. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 said, but what faith is? The word is not even in the mouth, in thy heart, but it is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith is the word of Jesus. Okay. The word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess in thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Over all is written, all that call upon him be saved. Notice that. It says simply, for you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him with all your hands and butts, no robes you try to travel, there's no hoops passing what you believe. I tell you something, that's how and then acting on what you believe. That's exactly what faith is. God, our faith, all with God, is real, that's confessing. We believe and we confess. Look at your second grandfather, the same spirit of faith. According to his friend, I believe we'll speak. She is the spirit of faith. You talk about, remember where David spoke this before? The fact that we believe and also speak.
Listen, you and I all have the same spirit of faith, and you speak. That's what faith is. I believe the word of God, and I speak from the belief and faith into completion, and you act. But it's another thing to just go ahead and do it. Can you give me a feedback? I can watch fishing shows. I can talk about fishing. That's still not fishing. You have not the same way of faith. We just act, talk about it, talk about it, and we can't. The Bible says all things are possible that nothing happens. And see, that's one of our problems a lot of times, is we don't say we believe something, but we really don't. That's why we're not seeing some wonderful miracles. We're full of hope. Some people believe that people are acting.
Because they know how they have kids, and they'll say, oh, they're just acting out. Right? Well, it's time for the church to start acting out, except in a good way. Start acting like we believe what we say we believe. Start acting like the Bible is actually true. Acting like Jesus is really Jesus and God is really God and we're what we really say we are. Instead of acting like the world and talking like the world and being like the world. You and I are to be set apart. Peculiar people, the Bible calls us. Well, I just don't want to stand out. You ought to be standing out. You ought to be different. There ought to be something about you that the rest of the world recognizes is not like them. There's something in you that they don't have. Now, they can get mad about that if they want to. But you've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Amen. He's living on the inside of you. You have something they don't have. You have the Holy Spirit. The very power of God that raised Jesus from the grave is on the inside of you. And sometimes when you watch us and you watch the church and you look at us, we don't act that way. Matter of fact, a lot of times you watch the church and we act like, man, we lost our best friend. Come on. You know, our lips are dragging around on the gravels. Right? We run around, oh, it's me. We're worse than Eeyore. Right? Negative, down and out. That's not the church that God has raised up here. God has raised up a glorious church. Come on, He's given you the keys of the kingdom. He's given you His Spirit to operate in the kingdom. As a matter of fact, not just operate in the kingdom, but to have dominion in this kingdom. But you can't have it unless you act on what God has given you. Right? Come on. I mean, you know, there's doors all over this house that's locked. And I can give you the key and you can go over there and start twisting on the knob and you say, well, I can't get in here. Well, if you don't ever put the key in the lock and open up the door, you won't get in there. You see, you've got to understand God has given you the key to open up every lock upon this earth. Come on, I've given you the keys to the kingdom, right? Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And we're still bound because we're not loosing on earth. Come on, we're not occupying till He comes. We're just here. But we're supposed to occupy till He comes. Now, let me just help you with this occupy word. Occupy word don't mean you're hid out in the place. To occupy a place means you have control over that place and it's yours. God has given the earth to the children of men. God has given the earth to His children and anointed us to have dominion. Come on, listen. What Adam and Eve lost in the garden, the Lord Jesus Christ has given back to you and I. If you go back and study, once He creates Adam and Eve, He tells them, you're going to have dominion over every creeping thing on this earth. Come on. You see, that's been restored to you through and by the Lord Jesus Christ, through His death, burial, and resurrection. The first thing I have to do is make Him Lord of my life. When I make Him Lord of my life, the Spirit of God comes into me and anoints me to go ahead and have dominion now, because now I have been deputized, I have been authorized to go ahead and have dominion upon the earth, to rule and reign here as kings and priests. I know that sounds like foreign talk. I know people would rather go just be in misery. Why is that? Wouldn't you rather be happy? Wouldn't you rather know that God has you in charge than to sit around and think, oh, I don't know what we're going to do now, children. I tell you, it's bad times. It's bad times. It don't have to be bad times for you. Yeah, I understand things are going on in the world, but you understand that you're not in the world. You're in the kingdom of God. You're governed under a different system. I don't know now. Is it all right, Terry, if I just give a testimony of you? See, let me just show you how what happens in the world is this. You get a report from the doctor, most time people start writing you off. Right? They just start writing you off. Well, especially if it's cancer or something like that. She got some reports back. They told her that, you know, you've got this and this and this and this. You're going to have to have surgery, you know, and this is all going. So she came up and she said, they want me to come and have surgery. They say, this is this. And it doesn't matter what it is. Here's what matters is we prayed about that. Now she went and she said, from the minute you prayed, she said, I knew I didn't even need to go. She said, I should have just went on about my business because I knew right then. But she went and did the surgery. And when they opened her up, they went in there and said, everything looks fine. There ain't nothing wrong, you know, with your ovaries. There ain't nothing wrong with nothing. Everything is good. Now, see, the world would say, well, there wasn't nothing wrong in the first place. Well, how come she got two or three bad reports then saying that she had something wrong? See, you can say they got it wrong if you want to, but we know. She's got confirmation of God's healing because they've got the report that says she's got this. But then when they opened her up and said, well, looky here, there ain't nothing here. That is God. And that's what the church is missing out upon, church. They're not seeing the power of God in manifestation when God is still operating the same today as He did always. The same today, yesterday, and forever. He's always been our healer. He's always been our Savior. He's always been our deliverer. But here's the thing. Right now, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and He's the head, and we're the body. Now, the head and the body have to operate together. So the body's going to have to get its act together. Because the head will not force the body to do anything. In other words, the Lord Jesus will not make you do anything. The Holy Ghost will not make you do anything. He'll urge you to, but you have a free will. And you have to make up your own mind. You have to release your will to His that I'm going to do what the Bible says I can do. I'm going to do what God tells me I can do. I'm just crazy enough to believe the Word. And if the Word's wrong, then we're all crazy for being here today. We could have went sleigh riding. Right? Come on. Too cold. All right. You guys just don't know how to have fun. Come on. You ain't lived till your clothes is froze so stiff you can't get them to bend out in the snow. We did that as boys, okay? You know? But what I'm trying to get us to see is, folks, the Word is true. And we see here and there, we watched Brother Larry Duty come up that aisle right there. Brother Jeremy got a hold of him. I'm preaching and they interrupt my preaching. Can you believe they interrupt my preaching? Because the guy's having a stroke. I mean, they, you know, Pastor, and when he got up here, his jaw was way down here. And he was, wasn't he? And we prayed. Now, this is not us. You, please, everything I'm talking about is God. You've got to see that. I couldn't heal a flea with a headache, neither can you. Right? That's what Brother Emmett Spencer used to say all the time. It's God's power working through us, though. And we all gathered there and we laid hands on him. And he walked back there and got in that seat. And he drove himself home that night. Healed. Face went back, right? He was talking right. That's God. I don't care what you say. That's God. And He's still doing those things today. But you and I have to believe it and speak it out of our mouth and act on those things. When you've got something going on in your life, you need to find the Word of God on that thing. Talk about that. Talk about that. Well, you mean, not the problem, about what the Word says about the problem. Father, this is going on. You don't have to lie. God knows what's going on. You can say, Father, I got this going on, but your Word says. Remember? Peter said, Jesus, we've toiled all night, and we haven't caught a fish. Nevertheless, at your Word, we'll let the net back down again. And they almost sank two boats with the fish. See, what if you and I would say, Father, this is going on, but your word says, by his stripes I am healed. My body feels this way, but your word declares that surely you bore my sicknesses and my infirmities. You said you sent your word and healed me. Come on, what if you start saying what the word says versus what your body's saying and what people are saying? Don't worry about what they say. They might not know the word like you know the word. You have to get a hold of that word and believe that word and speak it. Isn't that what we've just been reading about? Now you say, well, yeah, but we was talking about salvation. See, that's what messes with people. The same process to get saved is the same process to get healed. It's the same process to get delivered. It's the same process to get anything that the Word of God says. It's all the same. Believe and speak and act on it. Just act it out. Come on. See, I'll never forget how Dad Hagin talked about. He was bedfast, and he was a good Baptist boy, and he'd been reading the Bible, and he'd been reading about healing and stuff in the Word of God. And he said, you know, God, my denomination don't believe in healing, but it's right here in your Word, and so I'm going to choose to believe your Word. And so he said, I believe in the name of Jesus that by Jesus' stripes I was healed, and if I was healed, I am healed. Thank you, God, for my healing. And he began to confess that over his body, laying in bed fast. They'd have to get him up and all that stuff. And he said that one morning, and the Lord said, well, a healed person ought to be up out of the bed, ought not be laying around in the bed at 10 o'clock in the day. He said, what? He said, I said a healed person ought not be laying around the bed at 10 o'clock in the day. They ought to be up and about. And he said, well, Lord, I guess you're right. And he said, I started to get out of the bed, and he said, I couldn't move my legs. I was paralyzed from my hip down. And he said, but because the Lord said that, and I knew he was right, he said, I started scrambling around on the bed. And he said, I finally got up, he said, to where I could just, and I got a hold of one leg, and when I flopped it, it just, he said, just fell like dead weight. And he said, I got the hold of the other leg with my hand, and he said, I throwed it over, and they just flopped there. He said, I couldn't feel a thing, just like dead weight there. And he said, but I said, Lord, you said I'm healed and I'm going to be healed. I'm going to get up just like you said. He said, I still nothing. He said, so I grabbed a hold of the bedpost and he said, I pulled myself out of the bed. And when I got up on my feet, he said, there wasn't nothing there to hold of me. And he said, I started swiggling down and he said, I began to claim I'm the healed of God in Jesus' name. And he said, all of a sudden, all of a sudden, he said, I started feeling a burning in my leg. I started feeling something happening in my legs. And he said, strength started coming into my legs. And he said, I started raising myself up. And he said, I could stand on my legs. And then he said, I started trying to take walks. And he said, I could take steps. And he said, in just a little while, he said, I was running all over that room. God had healed me in that place. And he said, I got dressed and I went down for lunch. And he said, there are my parents. He just looking at me. What happened? God happened. See, church, it happened because he found it in the Word. He began to confess it over himself. And notice, he acted on the Word when it didn't look like nothing had happened. He couldn't feel himself healed. Matter of fact, he wasn't as far as the natural goes. But you see, you've got to understand something. The supernatural is where it happens first. Everything that's manifest happens in the supernatural realm before it happens in the natural realm. So you and I are spiritual people and we should believe the supernatural realm first, which is the Word of God and what God says. And then it can manifest itself here on the earth. One of the reasons we're not seeing more manifestations is because we're so worldly that we want to see it happen before we can believe it happens, and that's not faith. Faith is believing it's already happened, and then the manifestation comes. Time to start acting out, church. It's time to start acting on what we really believe and letting God get the glory out of our lives and everything about us. Amen. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Father, I pray right now, Lord Jesus, that You would just speak to every heart in this house, Lord. God, that today they'll start more than ever believing and confessing and acting on this belief from the Word of God, and it'll change their life. I pray today, Father God, that You'll speak to hearts as You have never before, and to let today be the day of new beginnings, new starts. Today be the day of breakthrough. Let today be the day that everything begins afresh. And we'll give You glory for that and thank You for that. Is everybody